and Marhuma Shahzadi Begum. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ولنبلونهم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أخبرني جبرائيل عن الله تعالى أنه قال إذا وجهت إلى عبد من عبيدي مصيبة في بدنه أو ماله أو ولده ثم استقبل ذلك بصبر جميل استحييت منه يوم القيامة أن أنصب له ميزانا أو أنشر له ديوانا صلوات It's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hold all the mu'mineen and believers to various types and levels of tests and we don't find any mu'min, any believer to be exempt from this divine tradition. The levels and the frequency differs depending on the level of Iman and Taharat of the Qalb cleanliness of the soul of a person. The more your cleanliness of the soul and the higher your level of Iman, you are certainly destined to face more and higher of the tests. And the lower your cleanliness of the soul and level of Iman, the lesser frequent and the lesser levels of tests you will face in your life. Facing the tests is a constant tradition, and there is no one exempt from this sunnat. Somebody came and said to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam that hal yubtala al-mu'min, is a mu'min put to test? And Imam alayhi salam replied, hal yubtala ghayrul mu'min, is a non-mu'min put to test? So we understand that a mu'min will always be put to test. For a non-mu'min, it doesn't make sense to test a non-mu'min. There is no imtihan for a non-mu'min. Al-bala'u lil-mu'mini imtihan, walil-kafiri azab, walil-anbiya'i daraja. The hadith informs us that the bala and test is an imtihan and test for a mu'min. In the favor of a mu'min, it is test. For the sake of a kafir, it is an azab, it's a punishment of Allah. For the sake of the prophets, it is a means of elevation of their levels. The more of the bala they face, the higher they get elevated. So basically, a mu'min is always put to tests of various types depending on his status. The hadith which I recited from the Holy Prophet, narrated in Jami' al-Akhbar, here the Prophet says, Akhbarani Jibreel, Jibreel informed me on behalf of Allah that he said, if a musibat is faced by one of my servants, one of my slaves, fi badanihi, in his body, or malihi, or his wealth, or wuldihi, or his children, thumma istakbala dhalika bi sabrin jameel, then he faces that with quote-unquote sabrin jameel. And I'm not translating it intentionally because this is a terminology and I would like my youth to get familiar with the Islamic Arabic terminologies. The sabrin jameel, a patience which is categorized to be beautiful type of patience in Islam. So if he faces all those various types of tests from Allah with sabrin jameel, with the jameel type classification of sabr, then Allah says, istahyaytu minhu yawm al-qiyamah, I feel haya in front of him on the day of judgment. I've become hesitant in front of him to an ansiba lahu mizanan, that I install the mizan. Mizan is the scale that will be installed on the day of judgment for measuring and gauging the a'mal and actions that we performed back then in the life of dunya. So Allah says, I feel hesitant for this type of mu'min, for this type of person, I feel hesitant to install the scale for judging his actions any further, in other words. أَوْ أَنْشُرَ لَهُ دِيْوَانًا, and I am hesitant to provide the diwan. Well, diwan is the register in which all the actions are written, and that register will be publicized. The register will be publicized in front of the masses, so people will get to know what every person has performed. So if we exercise sabrun jameel, and sabrun jameel is that type of patience which has zero complain against Allah's decision regarding my life. Anything and everything that Allah, my Creator, decides for me to face, I have zero complaint in my soul, in my heart against it. Sometimes we don't complain through the tongue, but we still feel bad in our heart. Why in the world is this happening to me? Isn't that right? I have been giving so much charities, I have been doing this, I am doing that. Why is Allah doing this to me? Sometimes some people say it, some people don't say, but they feel bad at heart. And this is not compatible with the concept of sabrin jameel in Islam, because sabrin jameel is that where there is no shakwa, there is no complaint at all in the heart against Allah's decisions in my favor. So we need to have sabrin jameel. Everyone was tested in the previous generations, and everyone will be tested in the later generations. The prophets being on top of all the list of everyone. And the higher the status of the prophet, of a prophet, the more his tests. Our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, that ma uziya nabiyun mislama uzito. No prophet was tortured as much as I was tortured. So just imagine 2000 plus years of life of Prophet Nuh and 950 years of him propagating in his nation. And what didn't he face from his nation? All sorts of tortures for 950 years. But our Prophet is saying that no one was tortured as much as I was tortured. In the 63 years of his life, the types of tortures and the magnitude of torture and the extent of torture that he faced makes him superior to all the prophets of God, despite the less age that Prophet lived as compared to some of the earlier messengers. Prophet Idris is still alive, isn't that right? Prophet Idris is on the heaven. Prophet Isa is still alive. Look at their long ages. He's on the fourth heaven. Isn't that right? Prophet Khidr alayhi salam is still alive. He lives on earth. There's so many who are alive and so many who have passed away. But no one can ever face as much torture, even those of the prophets who are alive, can never face as much torture as Prophet has already faced in 63 years of his life. It's a done deal. Why? One of the reasons may be because the level of taharat and cleanliness of his soul is of the highest. So this ayat of Holy Quran, which I recited in the beginning, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. Certainly we will test them, بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, with something of fear, وَالْجُوعِ, and hunger, وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, and decrease in their wealth, in the wealth, وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ, and in the lives, والثمرات, and the fruits, وبشر الصابرين, and give glad tidings and good news to those who exercise sabr and patience. الذين إذا أصابتهم, those who when musibat strikes them, when musibat befalls them, قالوا, they say, إنا لله, certainly we belong to Allah, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ, and certainly we are returning back towards him. So this is what we call kalimatul istirja in Arabic. It is mustahab, it is sawab that when we face any musibat in our life, we say, especially the occasion of death of someone, our own children, our own people, mu'mineen, we say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. This is not a reminder for this. This sentence has nothing to do, basically. This sentence is not related to the dead person only. like some people think, it's related to the dead guy. It is related to you and me. We are talking about our own selves. Inna lillah. We certainly belong to Allah. So I am reminding my own self that I'm also going to die. Isn't that right? Because wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are returning back towards Him, towards Allah. I'm reminding my own self. So this is one of the best ways of reminding ourselves that we are turning back, because we know the mabda and ma'ad, the point of origin and point of return in Islam is one, that is Allah. So we came from Him and we are getting back towards Him. That's the origin and that's the destination. So the prophets were such that they used to feel happy. The imams were such that they used to feel happier over these bala, these tests from Allah. The hadith says, "Al-bala'u muwakkalun bil-anbiya." The test is designated on the prophets. That means, so we understand that primarily it is addressed on the prophets. Thumma bil awliya, then on the beloved servants of Allah. Thumma bil amsal fal amsal, then the one who is more resembling then to the ones who are lesser resembling. So the more you resemble with the prophets and the imams, the more you will face the bala in your life. The less you have shabahat and tashabbuh with anbiya and awliya and a'imma, the less of the bala and test you will face. Amsal fa amsal. The more you resemble, the less you resemble. So this is the whole theme. They face the highest because they are the biggest madhar of all the sifat and asma of Allah. They means the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. And we find that our imams used to do istiqbal. That means welcoming of the bala and musibat. This is a very high stage. Not just I'm okay to accept it. Not just I am doing sabr and jameel, which every other mu'min is expected to perform on behalf of Allah. You know, from Allah's behalf, we are all supposed to have sabr and jameel. That means do a patience in a way without any complaint in our heart against Allah's decision. Not just on the tongue only, but not even in the hearts. So this is a general obligation of all the mu'mineen. But what we find in the case of Prophet and Bed, they used to welcome the bala. This is a very high level, very high level of practice that they have shown. In the time of Hazrat Zakariya was surrounded by kuffar, and the kuffar are running after him to kill, and Hazrat Zakariya is ahead of them. He encountered a tree and he seeked the help from the tree. Some of the scholars have mentioned in the tafsir that this is something that our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt never did. When they never seek help from, they never seek help from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that right? So Hazrat Zakariya, if they were in the place of Hazrat Zakariya, they would not seek help from the tree. It's not haram. At the most, it would be tarkul awla. Prophets never do harams. So he seek help from the tree. The tree opened up. It's the, you know, it's the call from a prophet of God. Things are under their obedience and command. They listen to the prophets. Tree opened up, but Shaitan, Iblis, was following the whole scenario. What he did, he grabbed some of the tip of the cloth of Prophet Zakariya from the outside. So he went inside the tree. It's a huge tree. He hid inside the tree trunk, and so the kuffar don't know where he's gone. But Iblis grabbed a piece of the cloth of Hazrat Zakariya sticking out of the tree. Now that the kuffar arrived, he showed to the kuffar that, see, this is the cloth, so he's hiding here. Now they start, they had this saw which they used to cut the tree and to cut Hazrat Zakariya into two pieces. So our scholars say that from Surah Dhaqat al-Ghaib, from the world of the unseeable things, the announcement from Allah came to Prophet Zakariya that you're not supposed to do jaza. See, it's very important to remember that at the time of bala, some people's behavior is that they start doing jaza. In Arabic we call it jaza, in Farsi we call it bitabi. In Urdu we say beqarari, bechani ka izhar. This is going to decrease the entire sawab that you are going to get from the bala fi sabilillah, from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's bad. It's a no-no. It's a bad thing in ilmul akhlaq when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you and your iman, and it's already an announced policy from Allah, and we already know it from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, then why expressing jaza? Why are you announcing in front of Allah, and, well, I'm upset. I dislike what you're doing to me. Once you claim that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once you have been told, once you have been shown the role models of the prophets and the imams and of the saliheen and the muttaqeen and shuhada, what they have done already in front of us, now a bala falls us and we start expressing, saying sentences, expressing expressions which reveal our dislikeness of Allah's decision in our favor. This is going to decrease your reward over the same bala. So, Hazrat Zakariya was basically, he didn't do no jaza. And he was cut into two. And when he was cut, he did the sabr, of course, and he did the shukr towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It certainly requires the shukr that a person is killed in the love of Allah. What a better destiny that a mu'min can ever reach. So, and after he got cut into two, then it was asked from him, what do you expect, what do you wish, in other words. And he said, I wish that, from the parts of his body, this voice came, that I wish this cutting of my body would have continued till the day of judgment. That means over and over again, over and over again, over and over again, the same bala have been provided for me, that my body would have been cut up till the day of judgment. We have hadith informing us that لو يعلم المؤمن ما له من الجزاء. If mu'min knows what reward he has, لَتَمَنَّى أَنَّهُ قُرِضَ بِالْمَقَارِيضِ. He would have wished that he would have been cut with scissors. The problems of this dunya are only once. That's the nature of this world. It cannot be repeated. We can't be killed twice. The results are eternal and no one can come back again. So if you ask any shaheed fi sabilillah, actually, he will reply the similar type of wish, that I wish I would come back and I wish I could sacrifice myself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again and again, so I get more and more reward. So we find that when this is the case, it is very important that we don't have jaza, expressions of dislikeness, at the time of arrival of the musibat and test from Allah. It is very significant, our scholars say, when a person faces death of his son, what is the statement number one
that he utters.
Later on, of course, people will come, your friends will come, your relatives would come, and they will start consoling you, condolences, ta'ziyat, tasliyat, you know, and they will support you, they will back you up and all that. You've got moral support and spiritual support, and now you get a relief. So what is significant in the eyes of Allah is what is your first remark? So we find the hadith which I'm paraphrasing in my own words, that when Allah asks the angels, when you took his son away from him, that means when his son was killed, what did he say? What did my servant say when you took his son away from him? And the angels say, our Lord, he did hamd and sana, he praised you. And he recited the kalimatul istirja. I already explained to you, which means inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, this segment of the ayat of Quran. Allah says, built a house for my servant in the paradise, and name that house as Baytul Hamd, house of the praise. This is just for your one sentence. Because the first remark that you give after your son dies is thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This first remark of yours will earn you one palace in the paradise, one house, and that will be called by angels as Baytul Hamd, house of the praise. This behavior. And then Allah says that those who do sabr on the tests, baliyat, and don't do the jaza, don't express any phrases of dislikeness or being upset, in other words, give them the glad tidings, the news, the basharat, so they receive the basharat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in the hadith of Rasulullah, he says, "Man istarja'a inda al-musiba," someone who recites the kalimatul istarja' at the time of the test, jabarallahu musibatahu, Allah compensates for his test, his musibat that he faces. Allah compensates for that. Wa ahsana uqbahu, and makes his hereafter better, nice. And better, وَجَعَلَ لَهُ خَلَفًا صَالِحًا يَرْوَاهُ, and Allah provides for him a salih, khalaf means his lineage, with whom he is pleased. So this ayat of Holy Quran that we are discussing, according to the tafsir performed by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, this ayat, he says, that is specific to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. But he was tested with these things. And then Imam Sadiq explains the explanation how Imam Ali alayhi salam was tested in the light of this ayat. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Now he starts explaining, which I am paraphrasing this long tradition in my own words. So Imam says, the murad, what is meant by test about the khawf, is the harb and qital, the war. So Imam Ali al-Islam was tested with the war. Now, of course, we know how Imam Ali al-Islam did in different types of wars, how he was tested in the war, and how he basically, with all his ikhlas and sincerity, served as the Islamic champion of all those wars that were fought in the time of Rasulullah, when Kuffar initiated the war and Prophet was defending. And Imam says that what is meant by jū' and hunger is fasting. So Imam Ali alayhi salam was fasting most of the times in the year, through during the year. Most of the days of the year he was fasting. And his iftar was the food belonging to barley and some of the, you know, a little bit of the food. Imam Ali himself has said, "Hasbi min at-ta'am ma yuqimu dhahri wa la yamna'uni min 'ibadati rabbi." That much food is enough for me, that straightens my back. Yuqimu dhahri, that can straighten my back. So he can stand up, he can do things, he can perform his fara'id, his duties. In other words, وَلَا يَمْنَعُنِي مِنْ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّي, and doesn't block me, doesn't stop me from the worship of my Lord. Some people eat so much that now when we eat so much, we tend to sleep and relax. Isn't it right? If you eat a lot, you will tend to sleep quicker and you will like to relax after eating a lot. So when we relax and we tend to sleep, of course we will be blocked away from a lot of things that we were supposed to do otherwise. Apart from the ma'navi blessings arrival in the qalb, which we are not talking about that aspect, we are talking about the practical things that we were supposed to do that we could not do because we ate a lot. Ma'navi things, I think I already mentioned in one of my speeches to you what my teacher had said, that when we eat more, the Babul Ma'naviyat, the door of the metaphysical blessings of Allah, gets shut on this soul. So he doesn't receive any of the Ma'naviyat any further if somebody eats in full. So it's condemned in Islam to eat in full. And it never happened in the life of Rasulullah or Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, not even once in their life, that they ever ate food in full. Never, not even once. It's impossible to find that kind of eating style in their lives. Imam alayhi salam said that the murad from the naqsim min al amwal, that means decrease in the wealth, is the bazl and ata, the generosity, the help and infaq and generosity that Imam Ali alayhi salam used to do. Every now and then, giving sadaqah, giving, you know, the help. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً. So, وَعَلَانِيَةً. So, he used to give the sadaqah in the night, in the day, hiddenly, openly, in various ways, all the time. Then people used to bother Rasulullah with the bulk of questions without taking care of their responsibility towards the messenger, and bothering him, causing undue zahmat for the Prophet. In those days, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this verse of Holy Quran, قَدِّمُوا فَقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ نَجْوَاكُمْ صَدَقَةً. Before you want to talk with the Prophet, a whispered talk, give sadaqah. And all those ashab and companions you used to bother Rasulullah, went back, kept away from the Prophet, and it was only Imam Ali alayhi salam who gave the sadaqah and then came and talked to the Holy Prophet. Of course, Imam Ali's talk was different from the rest of the companions. So, and we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam and his battles, the ikhlas and sincerity that he displayed, there is no room for thinking about any of the war booty that some people were fighting for the sake of that and for the sake of getting more of the wealth from the kuffar and the enemies. Whereas Imam Ali alayhi salam was never thinking about those things. And he was, and then murad from the naqs of anfus, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, that what is meant about the decrease in the lives is what Prophet had already prophesied, already told him about his shahada. Imam Ali Islam is going to be shaheed. And Imam himself used to say, several times it has been narrated in the history, on various occasions he made this expression or something similar to that in various occasions, ما يمنع أشقاها أن يخضبها من فوقها بدم. What is stopping the most shaky and the stone-hearted person, or worse than that, of the ummah to come and color it from its top with the blood? He's talking about his beard. So Prophet had prophesied that your beard will be colored with the color of your blood. You know, that means you will face the strike on your head and the blood will fall down on your beard and that will turn red, in other words. This is what Imam Ali was waiting and embracing and doing istiqbal, welcoming the bala. Ibn Muljam is considered to be Ashqal Akhareen, the most shaky person of all the later generation, entire later generation. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that the murad, what is meant from, naqsa min al-amwal wal-anfusi was-samarat, and the fruits. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, what is meant from that is the children. Fruit, as-samarat, fruits, it's a kinaya, it's a metaphor, which Allah, it actually means the children. Your children getting killed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another test of a mu'min. And this kind of test was also on its peak and climax for Imam Ali alayhi salam. Whenever he used to have a look over Imam Hussein, he used to cry a lot. And he said that I heard from Rasulullah saying, Man baka, this is narrated by Sheikh Saduq, Sawab al-Amal, that Imam Ali said that I heard from Rasulullah saying, Man baka ala al-Husayn aw tabaka, whoever cries on Hussein or makes a face as if he is crying. That's also very important, tabaki. In Arabic, we call it tabaki. Tabaki is one of the ibadat and worships of Allah. If you cannot cry for whatever reason, the minimum we are supposed to do, which everybody can do, it's doable for all, is that we do tabaki. I mean, we make an expression. We tend to cry. We try to cry. And we can all try at least. Isn't that right? We can do our effort to do that. When you try and do your effort and you tend to cry, then you will obviously be making a face like you are crying. So because you are doing your effort, you're trying to do that. You're trying to catch up on that obligation from Allah and to get the sawab and the reward and the pleasure of Allah. So you're trying, you're doing your effort to cry. So this is called doing, you're not crying right now, but you're doing your effort. You will make a face like as if you were crying. This is called tabaki. This is going to combine you with the qafila, with all those people who are crying. Yet your tabaki and your effort to cry is going to attach you with all those people who are doing it currently. Look at the beauty of Allah's teachings. So Imam Ali alayhi salam said, I heard from Rasulullah saying, whoever cries on Hussein or tabaki, that means, or he does his effort to cry, making a face like as if he's crying, in other words, wajabat lahul jannah, paradise yet becomes wajib for him. Of course, everything of that sort has its own conditions. The condition is the ma'rifat, of course. We all know that. So, but it's important to remember. And so the balas of various types are bound to reach us. Even in some of the narrations, we find that it has been said that wala rubbama, that's narrated in Tafsir of Nur al-Thaqalain, وَلَرُبَّمَا تَرَكَ بَعْضُ شِيعَتِنَا فِي افْتِتَاحِ أَمْرِهِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. In other words, maybe some of the Shias may not say in the beginning of their matter, their affairs, their lives, whatever things they are doing, different matters of their life, they would not say بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ in the beginning of the matter. فَيَمْتَحِنُهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِمَكْرُوهٍ. So Allah will test him with some disliked thing. لِيُنَبِّهَهُ عَلَى شُكْرِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. So Allah remind him, Allah warn him of doing the shukr of Allah. لِيُنَبِّهَهُ عَلَى شُكْرِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ وَيَمْحَقُ عَنْهُ. You know, and this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes away from him, basically. You know, by testing, we get some of our own wrongs or faults or sins. Ihtimal, and our tests will also make us get rid of those things. So, it is very important to be patient in all times, especially in the test. It's easy for a person to be patient in the time of sarvat and richness and pleasure and good times. So see the wasiyat before I move forward to the end of my speech. Let's have a quick look at the wasiyat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Ya bunayya, O my son, usika بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ فِي الْغِنَى وَالْفَقْرِ. I advise you with taqwa of Allah in richness and poverty. So you exercise the fear of Allah in both the situations. Some people exercise the taqwa of Allah. They are pious, they do good deeds only when they have money to take care of their needs of life. When they don't have that much, that sort of money to take care of their needs of their life, and they end up becoming faqir, they start doing wrong. Isn't it right? So taqwa is gone. Faqr, kad al-faqr, the hadith says, kad al-faqr an yakuna kufra. Faqr was close to become kufr. A faqir person was close to sell out his faith and iman and end up becoming a kafir. So again, the point to remember, it's hard to maintain taqwa in poverty. And look at what Imam Ali says to Imam Hussein, that I advise you to have taqwa of Allah in richness and poverty. وَكَلِمَةَ حَقٍ فِي الرِّضَى وَالْغَضَبِ. And word of haqq and righteousness, whether you are pleased in a situation where you are pleased or in anger. Some people say the truth as long as they are pleased. When they are angry, they can any time end up saying abusive language, bad words. Isn't that right? So their taqwa and tadayyun and religious practice ends as soon as they become angry. You know, like they say, in a 0 to 100 miles per hour, 0 to 60 miles per hour in 4.2 seconds. So zero to becoming non-religious and non-muttaqi in 4.2 seconds. That's the way some mu'min are. They're very nice people as long as they are pleased. There's nothing wrong. When they face extraordinary situations, you find the guy is no longer religious. This is not the definition of religious practice at all to begin with. Because if you are religious, a religious person is a religious person 24/7, 365. Not a temporary, seasonal religious person. Anybody would be seasonal. So many of the evil people would also be seasonally religious. Isn't that right? So many of the evil enemies of Islam are also, you know, so many of those evil people in the Islamic Ummah may also be doing some good deeds sometimes of their life. Isn't that right? But that's not what will categorize them to be the mutadayyin. So Imam Ali said to Imam Hussain alayhi wasalam, kalimata haqqin fir rida wal ghadab, word of haqq in the pleasure and the anger. Wal qasd fil ghina wal faqr. Qasd means iqtisad. Iqtisad means i'tidal. That means following the mediocre middle path of Islam in when you are spending your money. Neither overspending, which lands you in the domain of israf, which is haram, and every israf will oblige you to give khums, other than the khums that you pay once in your life, once in your year on the savings. You have to pay khums on this israf as well, because that's not your Zaruratun shar'iyya, divinely assigned necessity to spend. You overspent. When you overspent, it's not sanctioned by Allah. You have to pay khums in every israf. So this is about overspending, and then taqtir, other extreme, israf and taqtir. Taqtir means you have what suffices the needs of you. Allah has given that much money to you from His rahmat and blessing that suffices your needs of life and the needs of your family, but you still don't spend and keep them waiting and waiting and waiting and keep them suffer and suffer and suffer because you are a miser. This is called taqtir. And the hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, mal'oonun man qattara ala man wussi'a fi rizqihi thumma qattara ala ayalihi. This person, somebody who has been given wus'at and expansion in his risk and sustenance, but he keeps on doing taqtir, he performs taqtir. That means he keeps on making his family members suffer and doesn't spend the money on their necessities. This guy is mal'oon. He deserves the la'nat of Allah. So, wal-qasd. So we need to have i'tidal in our spending fashion, spending pattern. There has to be i'tidal, following the middle path of Islam. In fil-ghina wal-faqr, whether we may be rich or we may be poor, in both situations, i'tidal. Well, such a nice wasiyat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, which is a summary for the policies of our life, how we need to lead our lives. There's such a beautiful, although all of his ahadees are equally beautiful. So he says, وَبِالْعَدْلِ عَلَى الصَّدِيقِ وَالْعَدُوُ. That means Imam Ali is advising Imam Hussain alayhi salam that do adl and justice towards the friend and the enemy. So do your justice, do the justice, be it towards your enemy or towards your friend. A moment has to be just in all times. We do justice towards all. وَبِالْعَمَلِ فِي النِّشَاطِ وَالْكَسَلِ. And do action, do practical practice. فِي النِّشَاطِ, in the times when you are energetic. وَالْكَسَلِ, in times when you are lazy. In both situations, some people are very active in when they are energetic. But when they are not in the mood and they are lazy, they not even perform their wajibat. Isn't that right? What talk of doing mustahabat, mustahab and recommended actions and going out of the way, going an extra mile. You know, forget about that. Not even the wajibat. Even the wajibat are not fulfilled. The guy got so lazy that he doesn't even perform his wajibat. Look at the beautiful advices of Amir Mumin. You need to be active in your nishat and kasal in both of the times when you are energetic and you are lazy. Wa rida anillah, and being pleased with Allah Ta'ala fi shiddati wa raha. In the situations when you're facing tough times and when you're facing happy times. In both the situations, stay pleased with Allah. Whether I'm facing tough times in my life, I'm still pleased with Allah in my heart. Not just with the tongue, in my heart. That's the real pleasure. There's no complaint against Allah. Pleased. Not just no complaint, but pleased. Happy. Admiring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is doing right towards me. That's the way He was supposed to do towards me. Whether it's the hard times or the happy times. So we find that when Imam Ali alayhi salam was going towards the Battle of Siffin, he crossed by a place where he started to cry a lot, and he said to Ibn Abbas, Abdullah Ibn Abbas, that Abdullah Ibn Abbas asked Imam Ali, why are you crying? And he said, if you knew about this place, in other words, I'm paraphrasing in these narrations in my own words, if you knew about this place, you would have been crying. Imam Ali did two rakats of his prayers and he slept. And after a while he woke up and said that I saw in my dream a bunch of people wearing white clothes coming down, and they said to Ahlul Bayt, to Ali Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, do sabr. made a line on the land and said to the Ahlul Bayt, do sabr. And Imam Ali says that he saw a stream, a creek of blood, and my son Hussein is drowning in that stream of blood. Hussein ibn Ali is drowning in the stream of blood. And he's crying for help. He's seeking help. But nobody is coming forward to help him. And then he said, what we need to see from the Ali Abu Sufyan. Ali Abu Sufyan. From the lineage of Abu Sufyan. What we need to embrace and face from these guys. What sort of problems, in other words. And then he addressed Imam Hussein al-Islam by saying, Oh Abu Abdullah, Ya Abu Abdullah, certainly your father faced the similar thing from Ali Abu Sufyan like you will face. So do sabr. And Imam Hussein al-Islam replied to his dad, oh, my dad, I will do sabr. And I'll do the good sabr. Certainly Imam Hussein al-Islam did the sabr and jameel. Not just he's doing sabr, but there's no complaint. He's ravi and pleased with Allah's decisions. And we find that in the occasion of the Battle of Mauta, when Prophet had sent Hazrat Ja'far al-Sayyar, salamullahi alayh, he was the commander-in-chief of the battle, and kuffar surrounded him, and they cut off his right hand. And Jibreel came to the Holy Prophet, the curtains were removed, Prophet was witnessing the battle right from the city of Medina, far, far away, and he saw the scenario. Hazrat Ja'far grabbed the alam in his left hand, and he said in the shi'r, La ba'sa lamma qutti'at yamini ma'i shimali wa qawiyun dini. I don't care about if my right hand is cut, because I still have my left hand, and my religion is strong. So as long as your iman is strong, there's nothing to worry about. Another kafir came, another baladul haram, another bastard kafir came forward, because we have hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam narrated by Shaykh Saduq, La yaqtul al-anbiya wa la awlad al-anbiya illa awlad al-zina. No one can kill the Prophet, neither the children of the Prophet, except the children of zina. So the narration says, baladul haram came forward and he cut the left hand of Ja'far al-Tayyar. And Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar, that's where he addressed Rasulullah. Now he discovered that his time of shahadat is close. So he addressed Rasulullah. He saw Rasulullah from far away. There are no hijabat for them. And that's where he addressed Rasulullah by saying, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. He's saying the last salam of Rasulullah. My salam to you, O the Messenger of Allah. Salama muwaddi' La salama za'ir. That means this time I'm saying my last salam to you, the farewell salam. Not the salam of a za'ir person who is doing your ziyarat, because this is my last salam of life, in other words. And the kuffar surrounded him after killing him, and they were poking the spears in his body, one after the other. And they raised the body of Ja'far al-Tayyar on a spear, and Allah raised his body from the top of the spear up till the heaven, and the Prophet has said, At-tayyaru fil jannah. Talking about Ja'far al-Tayyar, that he is in paradise and he has two wings. So the Ja'far al-Tayyar is basically flying in the paradise with the two wings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has awarded him. And when Imam Ali alayhi salam heard this news about his brother becoming shaheed, remember the Prophet had said in his hadith, Ala misli Ja'far faltabkil bawaki. On a person like Ja'far, the woman should cry. So when Imam Ali alayhi salam heard the news of the Shahadat of Ja'far al-Tayyar, that's where he first ever in the history of Islam, that's where he recited this ayat of Quran, this segment of the ayat, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. First time ever in the history, this sentence was recited by a human. The ayat was not yet revealed on the Prophet. Later on, Allah revealed the ayat on the Holy Prophet, whereas Imam Ali alayhi salam recited this, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, upon the hearing the news of his brother Ja'far al-Tayyar. Certainly we belong to Allah and towards Him are we turning back. Whereas if we go to Karbala, we find Imam Hussein alayhi salam also recited Kalimat al-Istirja. And he recited the Kalimat al-Istirja according to this narration when he's carrying his young baby, 6-month-old Ali Asghar. You know, Ali Asghar, Imam Hussein is carrying Ali Asghar in his hand and moving forward towards the Qiyam. 7 steps, he moved forward, 7 steps, and he again went backwards. It's very hard, brothers and sisters, when you have your 6-month-old baby and the mother is waiting in the Qiyam. So on one hand, you are the Imam. On the other hand, he's also the father. And he has a wife as well. And he has to take the baby to the wife. And a 6-month-old baby who couldn't even fight. So Imam Hussein is reciting Kalimatul Istirja. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ridham bi qada'ihi wa tasleeman li amrih. So he's razi and pleased with the decision of Allah. And he's submitting himself to the command and the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find when Imam Hussein had brought Ali Asghar into the maqtal and he addressed the people, the ashqiya, he addressed the ashqiya that if you guys think, in other words, which I'm paraphrasing these narrations in my own words, if you guys think that Hussein is at fault, that this son of mine has no fault. And nobody came forward to provide any water. We find Imam Hussein put Ali Asghar over the soil of Karbala. And this was another Itmamul Hujjat on the Ashqiya. So that nobody can think that Hussein ibn Ali wants to drink water through bringing his son. He himself wants to drink water. Tomorrow nobody can say, no historian can say, Hussein ibn Ali was trying to drink water himself, so he brought his baby. Imam Hussein put his baby over the ground. And this was Itmam al-Hujjat, so the Ashqiya can come and provide water to the baby themselves. But nobody came forward, and this baby, you know, the burning sands of the desert. Now Imam Hussein is picking up Ali Asghar again. And he said to his son, you know, to show to the enemy how much thirsty you are. And Ali Asghar is now rubbing his little tongue. Ali Asghar is now rubbing his little tongue over his dry lips, over the dry lips. And the riwayat says, the narration says, the ashqiya, they turned away their faces. They could not see the scene. They turned away their faces. And Umar, that's where Umar ibn Saad addressed to Harmala, Iqta kalam al-Hussein. Cut off the kalam of Hussein. So that's where he threw the 3-pointed arrow. فَانْقَلَبَ الصَّبِيُّ عَلَى يَدِ الْإِمَامِ. The child, you know, started to... The arrow stuck into the neck of Ali Asghar. And it penetrated into the hand of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And the narration says that there was a smile at the lips of Ali Asghar. So maybe Ali Asghar was trying to convey the message to his father, my dad, don't be worried, I am happy over the Shahadat. So now Imam Hussein is carrying Ali Asghar towards the Qiyam. You know when Imam was taking Ali Asghar from the Qiyam, Sakina came forward. Sakina said to Imam Hussein, Sakina was witnessing that Imam Hussein is taking Ali Asghar, that maybe he can bring water for Ali Asghar. He can provide water to Ali Asghar. Now Imam Hussein put the Aba over Ali Asghar. He is now moving forward towards the Qiyam.
And now that he came forward, Sakina also came to see what has happened. And she found, she said to her father, "Dad, Sakina is also your child." That means you provided water for Ali Asghar, but you didn't bring water for me. Imam Hussein didn't say any statement. The riwayat says he removed the abba over Ali Asghar. You know, and they saw that the janaza of Ali Asghar is there. And this is the only janaza in the entire, in all the janazas in Karbala. The only person whom Imam Hussein alayhi salam buried himself. He buried this grave of Ali Asghar through the tip of his sword. Through the tip of his sword, he buried Ali Asghar. And also, Imam Hussein rubbed the blood of Ali Asghar. This blood of Ali Asghar is very precious blood. Now, some of the narrations say that some of the scholars have said Imam Hussein was trying to throw the blood towards the sky. And the sky responded that if I receive the blood, there shall be no rain for the planet Earth forever. So Imam Hussein didn't throw the blood towards the sky. And he was trying to drop the blood of Ali Asghar that gathered into his hand over the land. And the earth spoke to Imam Hussein, "There will be no plantation growing up any longer if you throw the blood of Ali Asghar on the land." And some of the narrations say that Imam Hussein threw the blood towards the sky. And the whole, that means we learned that the whole blood is there as an amanat with Rasulullah on the day of judgment. It is present before Rasulullah. And some of the narrations say that Imam Hussein rubbed the blood of Ali Asghar over his own face. So tomorrow he is going to meet Rasulullah, his grandfather, with the blood of Ali Asghar on his face.
أنا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوان بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for Marhum Sayyid Asghar Mehdi Abidi and Marhuma Shehzadi Begum.